Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. This morning we have on with us Bertha Owens, a young woman who was sentenced to life in prison at the age of 38 years, with virtually no evidence is beyond belief. Former cop and private eye Charlie Schneider delved into the decades-old case that put three St. Louisians in prison falsely accused, Bertha being one. So, Bertha, are you on with us?
Yes, I am.
I want to thank you for being on with us. I'm honored to have you on, and I'd like to have you tell a little bit about your story to the audience.
Well, my name is Bertha Ann Owens, and I was tried and convicted of a murder in the Benton Park West neighborhood area at 2926 California in 1996 for Frederick Huff, a crime that I knew absolutely nothing about. I learned about the crime as I became incarcerated. I began to study the transcripts to understand why was I being in prison for something I had no idea about. The prosecuting attorney, Nels Moss, withheld evidence. He withheld, he used people that I did not even know, had never seen before in my life, to say that I had committed a crime. He withheld 2,000 pages of medical records of Frederick Huff from the negligence of the hospital puncturing Mr. Huff's colon. They went in once, went in again. The third time they put a colostomy on him, and it was then that he passed on. So the judge at the particular time asked the prosecuting attorney to remove the family because the family had no clue of actually what really happened to their deceased father, which I found out once I got my legal documents what the hospital had actually done. So it's almost as if Nels Moss, him being deceased, his crookedness is still alive because I'm still here as well as others that have been over-sentenced and are behind bars as I am falsely accused.
Now, Bertha, can you tell us how he did die?
He died from the hospital puncturing his colon. From my understanding of the trial attorney, Sharon Turleton, she explained how he had not had a bowel movement. And they went in to, they put this long instrument up in his colon, and it had a point on it. So as they was bringing it out to try to maybe unblock what they thought he had blocked bowels, to unblock, it punctured his colon. And so when they noticed that it was not doing any good, they went back in, and it set up abscess for the second time. So when they went back in the third time, they had to end up putting a colostomy bag on him. And then it was there that he died.
Now, were you working at the hospital?
No, I was in the prison. I was in jail when this happened to him. And then my trial attorney came and explained to me that process. And it was there that those 2,000 pages of medical records was withheld from prosecuting attorney Nels Moss at that time.
So if you were in jail at the time, how did they happen to involve you in this?
Because a false witness that Nels Moss used by the name of Felicia Jones came up with the crime and said that I and the other two gentlemen, one of them is deceased now, committed the crime. And so he gave them a script, what she called it, to memorize of her false statement. And that's how I was involved, was from her.
Okay, but you were in prison at the time, or you were in jail at the time?
No. They came and locked me up. They came and asked me. They came to my house. At that time, I was living at 3112 Rucker in the city of St. Louis. They came to take me down to question me, and I never went home. I've been here from December the 9th, 1996, until March the 5th, 2020.
And you had no idea who this man was?
I met him one time. I did meet him once because of the complex where everybody hung out at, and I met him one time.
Okay, so the cause of his death was from the colonoscopy or the damage done by in the process of the colonoscopy?
The damage that was done by them puncturing his colon, yes.
Okay, because I'll tell you, with all the corruption and deception going on in the world today, especially in this country, this is probably not a rare or unusual case because a lot of people are going to prison for wrongful convictions due to malpractice. But it was just confusing as to how they involved you, since you weren't even working employed at the hospital, and this was the result of the
false witness. Felicia Jones involved me in this crime. She came up with the story. She told the story how me and these several other people went in while she was the lookout person and committed this crime. But yet she knew everything. She got rid of the gloves, she said. She got rid of the knife that was supposed to have been used on this victim. She got rid of everything. So the story originally came from her.
And the autopsy revealed that the colonoscopy
hospital
process was what did it.
Yes, that's what did it. So who actually
ever... So
what's
it like for you and your family since you've been in? And you've been in how long now, Bertha?
I've been incarcerated now for 24 years.
Jeez. 24 years wasted on something that doesn't even make sense. It doesn't.
Well, of something that I had to learn about, something that I had no clue about, something that I had not a hand to.
And during the appeal process, did you have an appeal?
Yes, I did.
And what happened at the appeal?
Every appeal was denied. And I think because it goes right back to the judge that tried me in the trial. It went right back to him. And so everything that the trial attorney or appeal attorney's done, it went right back to him. So, of course, you're not going to move forward with it going back to the same judge who I believe worked with the prosecuting attorney at the time of this trial to get a conviction because they knew they covered up what the hospital done because of the statement I overheard Judge Julian Bush make, asking the prosecuting attorney to remove the family because this could be a malpractice suit.
You know, I've interviewed people in the prior months that were speaking on the same page as you as far as these cover-ups for malpractice suits. And this is something that, again, it's very common. And as far as the judges... We don't need to question that because we know for a fact there are judges who work with the prosecutors in hiding evidence or ignoring evidence or whatever it might be. But
yes.
Again, what's it been like in prison and what's it been like for your family throughout these years?
Well, it has been hard being in prison, especially if you've never been in prison. And my children, I have three children, two sons and a daughter, which had to really vent for themselves. And in the process, they have lost their way. My two sons have lost their way, you know, being out there trying to survive on their own, you know, out of all these years. Now they are adult men in the vicious cycle of the world out there, you know. Not having any guidings or anything, have just sapped them up. You know, my daughter has continued on. Now she has a family of her own. But it's been hard, and I know it's been very hard on them, as well as my family.
I can imagine. We also have on with us Madeline Colburn, who is a prisoner advocate. She is also a pastor. And Madeline, are you there? Madeline? We may be having a problem with that. But Madeline has spoken very highly of you, Bertha, and she also feels that you have been wrong. Injustice has been not been a thing. I should say justice has not been a thing for you. And it goes throughout the country again in a lot of these cases. And I want the audience to hear your story, mainly, Bertha, because so many people tend to judge without having all the facts. And as you mentioned, there was a lot of injustice in your case, a lot of false witness, a lot of people that were saying things that weren't true. The media also reports one-sided stories, which is a major problem in this country, because they take the side of the story from law enforcement or from the police officers, from the courts, but they never seem to really speak with the person that's being accused. And how have you felt about the media as far as them questioning you, if they ever did question you before reporting all of this?
Well, when I was questioned, because I could not answer any of the questions, the detective, Clifford Harper, told me that he was going to make sure that I paid for this, because I couldn't answer any other questions. I couldn't answer any other questions but because I was not a participant. I never participated. I knew nothing about it, so therefore I could not answer any of the questions. And I just believe that they do what they do to make a name for themselves, and as well as to cover up the negligence when hospitals do things as in error to cause a death. They cover that up, and it's almost like the hospital, the DA's office, the judge, they all work together. And I think it's so sad that people like myself be stripped away from my family while they use false witnesses to testify, to give them scripts to memorize, and then they live a happy ever after life with their family.
While you serve a life in prison. You know, that's so unfair. It really is what happens in these cases. And I always say that there are wrongfully convicted people in the prisons, and there's also people who were victims before becoming offenders. In your case, it was both. Wrongfully
yes.
convicted and victimized before even becoming offender.
Before even becoming one. Yes. And there's so many other women in here that I've ran across that are dealing with false imprisonment. You know, there has to be justice. Justice must come forth. Not only for me, but for the many women that are in here, Judy Pickens, Patty Pruitt, Denise Hannah, you know, and the list goes on. You know, while we're in here fighting to prove that we are behind these bars innocent, you know, it's just almost like a blind eye. It's constantly being turned. But, you know, we must come together and straighten out the crooked paths of the injustice that goes forth.
Exactly. Now, Bertha, in the news that I had read about this Charlie Schneider, former in Private Eye, how was he involved with your case, or how was he involved with your case?
Well, Mr. Schneider got involved with my case through the Midwestern Innocent Project in Kansas City. I had received a letter saying that I would be getting a visit from the investigator. And upon him coming to visit me, we visited for hours. And he began to explain to me how he had volunteered his services to the Midwestern Innocent Project, and he began to explain to me how he did a lot of things. And in prayer, when he got through praying, he asked God, what was his next subject? What was his next thing for him to do? He said, and then his telephone rang from the Innocent Project with my case. And so upon him meeting me, we have been connected ever since. So Mr. Snyder is not only just an investigator. He had become and is a part of my family now.
And this is what I'd like to hear. This is a testimony, because there are so many police officers you cannot trust. There are so
yes.
many corrupt police officers who make the good police officers look bad. But as a prisoner once said, if the good police officers don't speak up about their bad peers, then they're just as wrong as the ones that are doing the actual crimes. But when you have someone like Mr. Schneider doing something good on his own, voluntarily, because he wants to see justice.
With no pay
yes. at all.
Yes.
This is what you call justice. Let's
yes.
just hope that he finds justice for you. And with this mass incarceration we have in this country today, they're talking about prison reform, which to me, your release will be eventually will be a success, as
yes.
as with many others. But we have to have our government leaders, the politicians, really fight for this prison reform, because I think sometimes what they do is they get sideswiped with the constituents that don't have a clue what's going on with prisoners or in the prisons, who are very much against prison reform. And I'm hoping that we have some real leadership in our government with these politicians, and they really act on this prison reform, because too many people are suffering, like yourself and others, wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders, you know, people that are in prison unnecessarily or having these harsh sentences.
Yes, and I believe that one thing that may make a difference and help is that when you reach out to innocent projects for assistance, they want you to be the exalted. All your appeals before they may even consider taking on your case, and that's still not a guarantee. But if they would reach and help you while you're going through the appeal process, maybe somebody, another Bertha, will not have to sit 24 years before she gets some help.
That's it. Now, Bertha, can you let the audience know if there's any way that they can help, if there's anything that they could possibly do to help in your case, whether it's writing letters or whatever? And also, if you have a website or if anyone has a website, you do have a petition out there. A lot of people
yes.
have it now. But for those that don't have it, maybe you want to give them that information as well.
Well, they have to go to change.org.
Your contact information as well, if you want.
Yes, they have to go to change.org, pull my name up. I do believe they can Google me, and it'll pull up. They can go on the petition. They can sign the petition if they want to write letters to me to encourage me. I'm here at WERDCC, 1101 Highway 54, Vandalia, Missouri, 63382 is the zip code. And my name is Bertha Owens. And prayer, because I know prayer is the key. Prayer changes
Amen.
Things. So if we can get the world to begin to pray, to move the hand of God, then not only will I be free, but those that will come behind me, those that are already before me, will get free as well, because God is a God of justice.
Amen. Okay, it's change.org. They can type in Missouri Innocence Project, Bertha Ann Owens, framed by St. Louis City Prosecutor. Also, I'm looking at all these people that signed your petition. Many of them shared your petition. Many of them pitched in $10 and $7. So you have quite a bit of support out there, Bertha. I hope you realize that and don't ever feel like you're alone in this venture you're being forced to be on. But there are so many cases like yours, and hearing them it gives the audience an awareness of what goes on in the penal system.
Yes, and this is a dark place, you know. So if you have loved ones that's in prison, go visit them, you know. Write them letters, you know. Try to help them be encouraged, because this is a dark place at times. And you have to find your light. You have to find your way through this maze, because that's exactly what it is. It's a maze, you know. And not to come out, when you come out, the same way that you went in.
And unfortunately, a lot of people come out, if they come out at all, they come out worse than they went in.
Right.
Because
there's no reform. There's no reform in this system. None. There's nothing here that can change you. You have to start to change within yourself.
Which leads me to my next question. Can you let the audience know some of the things that you have done, successful things that you have done on your own while being incarcerated all these years?
Well, I work here at the sewing factory here at Missouri Vocational Enterprise, which I was already a sewer. It was a passion that I had at a young age. But I now train staff and offenders alike to learn how to sew. We make all kind of things, and so I have mastered the skill of sewing. We surge. I train leads now so they can train the people. And now I have transitioned over into another job at the sewing factory. Now I'm learning the computer and the shipping and handling, so when I get free, I can start my own business. Yes, I've been working there. I got my GED here, and I've been working at the sewing factory since 2003. And a couple of times that I got tired and went to another job, but ended up right back at the sewing factory.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned
not too many jobs here.
You know, there's not too many in any of the prisons. And that's unfortunate, because there are so many prisoners who are trying to, you know, do some kind of correspondence, educational correspondence courses. There are so many that are trying to get prison jobs, and either there's none out there or they're being deprived of it. There is, across the country, a lot of deprivation when it comes to prisoners wanting to do something positive in the prisons. I've actually spoken to some prisoners as well who have talked about having to come up with their own ideas on successful or progressive things to do. Some of them have worked on inventions. Some of them have worked on other things. But they say they have to sometimes work on something for themselves, because the prison is not offering them these opportunities.
Well, like myself, I started sketching because I'm going to become a designer when I'm released. But I started sketching, didn't know that I could sketch. I started sketching designs, so when I get free, I can start my own collection. And then the pay, they start you off at 30 cents an hour. After 30 days, they take you up to 50 cents an hour. Then the highest pay as being a lead is 71 cents an hour. So, yes, you do have to recreate yourself. You have to find out who you are in her and begin to do things for yourself in her, because there's no reform in her. There's no classes that can really take you anywhere, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. It's sad that they don't have more opportunities for people in prison, because if they're going to be in prison, as you say, it's a dark place. And anything to occupy the mind, to keep, you know, the individuals busy
and
learning something.
Yes, and then, like, they have a class that teach you how to run computers. But you have to have a five-year out date in order to get into the class. So somebody with a sentence such as mine, life plus 45 years, if I had the mindset that I would be in here, I would never be able to take that class. Yes, or any of the other classes that they have, which is not too many. So, you know, again, there is no reform in here. So the politicians may begin to look and see what could better build a person up to help them better themselves, offer them a trade, offer them some things in here that they can do that will benefit them when they get released.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what they need. They really do.
Yes. Prepare a person for society, because a person like myself that who have been neglected from society all these years, you know, I'm going to need some help to get back into society.
Well, hopefully when that time comes, the help will be there, more than enough help, especially in a wrongful conviction.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But I'm really honored to have you on with us, because you have come a long way in all these years in the work that you've done on your own inside. And again, it's sad that we have to go through these things to bring awareness to people about the injustice that goes on, because so many people do not have a clue of what goes on in the prisons. And the media, again, the media needs to go inside, and they need to meet with all of you. They need to start learning what they're reporting is not always accurate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I never thought that I would be able to make it this far without losing my mind in this place.
That goes to show you there is a God.
Yeah.
There is a God, because so many prisoners have said that. You know, they don't know how they survived this long. They don't know how they were able to get the strength and endurance to go on like this. And it has to be the Creator that does this.
Yes, yes, absolutely, because without Him, I wouldn't have made it this far.
No.
Yes, and before I even came here, you know, the devil is real and was trying to cause me to take my own life, you know, but until God stepped in and said, I'm going to deliver you. Get up and shake it off. And I've been up and at it ever since. It's been a roller coaster. Everything has not been a straight line. I have been through a roller coaster because life has its ups and downs.
I can imagine.
Yes.
I had to get that. So I'm just going through this thing now. Okay, I want everyone to know that Bertha's going to be on with us tomorrow as well. And Bertha, if there's anything that you'd like to have the audience do, if they can write to you even to support you in what you're going through, you know, let them know this too, because I'm sure that there will be people that would like to maybe connect with you to see how things are going, to support you in any way they can. If you can, give them that information as well.
Okay. Again, I am at WERDCC, WERDCC, 1101 East Highway 54, Vandalia, Missouri, 63382. My inmate number is 80353. My name is Bertha Owens, and you can write me letters of encouragement. You can put me on the prayer line. You can begin to pray for me, and I will be very, very grateful.
Okay, and we have a couple of guests on that. A couple of visitors. Who are we talking with now? Who's on the air?
Katrina Faulkner.
Katrina, would you like to say anything? We have about 90 seconds left. We will be on again tomorrow
at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Bertha, my friend McChrista, you mentored her when she was in prison and I was in prison at the same time. And you helped us. And since you helped her, she's not only helped me, but
I have
been out of prison almost 20 years, and we're trying to get you on Dr. Phil's show. We have donated to your petition, and I'm going to write you, and we're going to come visit you, and there is hope because God wants you free, girl.
Yes.
We love you so much. Do not be discouraged. You never met me personally, I don't think, but you have affected us so much. And we just love you, girl. I don't know how else to say it, but we've been in Vandalia. We worked at NVA. We know what it's like, and you are such a strong, amazing woman of God that we love you so much. In
Katrina,
name,
we're going to have Bertha on with us tomorrow at the same time. If you would like, I'd like to have you come on with us and maybe talk more about this.
I am not. My friend LaChrista should really be the one to do that. She actually personally knew LaChrista. She can call in and do that. I would be more than welcome and happy to. But,
okay,
I mean, LaChrista's listening right now, and she could call in tomorrow. She's the one that helped her try to get on Dr. Phil, and she's the one that helped her with the petition. we want to help her so much. It's in our heart. We've been where she's at, and we were actually guilty of the things that we were there for. Bertha is innocent. She didn't do what they say she did.
Mm. Well, we'd like to maybe have you on sometime, too, to talk about your situation, because
yeah,
this
I
is
can.
Something...
I will.
But
this is about Bertha.
I
just want to help Bertha.
Facebook. My number's on there as well. But we have to close now because we are just about finished. Bertha, it was a pleasure having you, and I hope that
we
can
love you,
learn
Bertha.
More.
I love you, too.
We love you so much. Don't give up, girl.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes. God loves
tomorrow,
you,
tomorrow, everyone, and we're signing out now. Thank you.
Okay,
all
I'll
right.
call back. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Leona?
Yes.